Hello, welcome to another Cage Club Revisited. This is one of these episodes, Mike. I promise I'm going to be looking at the spreadsheet.
28.
No, this is number 20.
Oh, I was 8 off.
Not even close. Uh-oh. Stole it. Well, because if you figure eight episodes off is 16 weeks off,
yeah,
that's
way
not
off.
Close.
Nope.
Stolen, 2012, the Simon West film, back.
Ooh,
after
West.
Con Air, Stolen, now, Redux, Simon West, Nicolas Cage, Malin Ackerman, delightful, charming, wonderful.
A girl that looks like a young Angelina Jolie is in this.
Oh, right, his daughter?
Yeah.
Cool.
The guy who plays Stryker in Wolverine Origins.
That is over my head. Do not know what you're talking about.
Well, he's a good actor. He's also the bad guy in Wonder Woman. He's the fake, not Ares guy.
Oh, okay.
He's in this.
We are watching the DVD. If you want to watch along with us, go to cageclub.me, grab a bingo card, Cage Club Movie Bingo. If not, that's also cool.
Bingo.
But we're going to start in 3, 2, 1,
play. Playing Stolen. Now, whoop. We actually referenced the opening to this in Ocean's 13 on Cinemakers when they break through a toy store to rob a jewelry store, and I'm pretty sure this is what happens in the beginning of this movie, too.
Love it.
Saturn Films.
Once again, okay. Oh, New Orleans. Check it
New
off.
New Orleans, if you got it. That's where my accent's from, by the way. I'm from New Orleans.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You grew up next to Tommy Wiseau, right?
Pretty much. We sound exactly the same.
Don't think war is going to happen. Don't know peaches is going to happen. Don't know the beach is going to happen. Bad accent? Possible. Red sports car? Possible. Cage voiceover? Possible. Cage top building credits? Check it off. Helicopter? Maybe. Cage grunts? I forgot that was a thing. Works out? Drinks alcohol? Overreaction? Singing? Montage?
Danny Houston. That's
tattoo?
Danny Houston.
I'm already going to cross off an attractive woman finds Cage irresistible because...
Malin Ackerman does.
Malin Ackerman does. Las Vegas is probably not going to happen. Twin Peaks connection.
I don't know. A woman is attacked in this, though. His daughter is shoved into the back of a car. Oh, this music. This is like the... I remember this being like a temp MIDI theme for like a lesser action movie or something. Like, it feels like something Robert Rodriguez has as, like, temporary score that he's going to get back to and, like, replace the instruments.
It's like if somebody was like, give me something that sounds like Bond.
Oh, it's so cheese.
Keep in mind, this is a movie that we both like.
Oh, but it's a guilty pleasure for me.
That Zach Dazon also likes. I don't believe in guilty pleasures.
Really?
I think you just like what you like.
Know. Okay, I like this movie a lot, but I'll concede it's not good.
That's fine.
We'll put it that way.
I mean,
as far as a guilty pleasure, I guess I just mean movies that are generally bad that I find incredibly enjoyable.
Yeah.
But I genuinely like this one.
I just don't think, like, you have to qualify what you like. Like, well, I know it's not good, but I like it. Just, you know, I like it. You like this movie. I like this movie. I like Cage. I like Malin Ackerman.
Why is this guy...
Because he's... Remember, this is part of it, isn't it?
Oh. I think they're putting out a show, or it's timed out to a song?
No, I think he's, like, trying to draw the cops away or something. I think this is part of the heist. I think he's in on the crew.
The Parrish Diamond Exchange.
New Orleans, 4 a.m. Subtitles, check.
Oh, awesome.
If we get overt sexism, surely gonna happen... And red sports car, I win.
Already?
I have 3 in a row. Peeing on the cop's foot.
No, they know that the heist
is going down. Oh,
that's
right, the cops were in the heist. Yeah, it's the other way around. Right. I thought he was in on it, but the cops were already there. That's what it was.
Cops are on it.
I knew that.
But
it was
even they're
the
sort of like not on the right info because of the way that they bust through one place to get into the other.
This is the shortest. This is the third movie that we're watching today. We already did our Bangkok Dangerous and Red Rock West episodes.
This is shorter?
This is the shortest, keeping it right and also tight, in hour 35.
Nice. Creedence Clearwater. Oh, this reminds me of... Wasn't there another movie where he was, like, really into a certain song or music? Oh.
Well, he was a Beatlemaniac in The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Love this.
But he had prep music and Gone in 60 Seconds. That's what it was. He has got like his song, and that he had Lowrider, and then this he has this.
Let's go.
See, look, they're all getting ready for the heist. What a motley little crew they are.
Who's the third guy? Is that Josh Lucas?
I believe so. Who I know mostly from this movie. He goes from being like this super handsome dude to being like muy ugly later. Remember? He's like, I lost my good looks.
With the long, greasy hair and the band-aid
and the blade leg. It's 4 a.m., by the way, and his daughter just called him on the phone.
She wants to read. She wants him to read. Well, is she in the town, or is she supposed to be somewhere else?
Oh, well, I'm under the assumption that she lives in New Orleans as well. But
I guess they probably live together.
Purple is
not
color.
Only is she awake, but she's also calling him on the phone.
You'd think he'd have his phone off during a heist.
I love his physical gestures that do not translate to the audio medium.
He's got very expressive features in this one already.
Absolutely.
I think he's cozy because he's in New Orleans and, you know...
Sure.
The script is just a lot of fun. There's nothing serious happening. Marlon Ackerman, yet to speak.
Just grinning and laughing from the backseat like, guys, I'm here too.
Oh, there we go. 4 minutes or something. She was in Watchmen.
She was in Watchmen. She's also in one of my favorite shows... Oh. My favorite one-and-done shows of all time, Trophy Wife.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Along with Michaela Watkins and Marsha Gay Harden and Bradley Whitford. And a couple really funny kids. Oh, and also Nellie Morales, who's also great. Nellie Morales was also in another one of my favorite one-and-done shows, The Grinder, with Rob Lowe and Fred Savage.
No.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
You gotta put it up.
It's about how Rob Lowe plays a lawyer on TV.
Okay.
He was in a TV show called The Grinder, and then The Grinder ends, and he decides to become an actual lawyer because his dad and his brother, Fred Savage, is actually a lawyer.
Okay.
So he comes back to town and like wants to work for their law firm. They're like, you have no legal experience. And yet everybody in the town is just like enamored by this, like this movie star, because it's, I think, in Idaho that takes place. So everybody's just like, oh my God.
Small
like,
town.
The Grinder's here.
That's pretty funny.
But yeah, it's great. It's really, really, really
good. I first saw her in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Yep.
And I was like, who is this person?
I probably saw her in that before, but I don't remember her from that. I remember, obviously, from Watchmen, from Trophy Wife. She's been in a bunch of things. I just don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You know. She's one of those people that I like that I don't really know a ton about.
Look at Infrared Cage. So that's cool. Awesome. Heat Signature Cage or whatever.
Marlon Ackerman, most known
for
The Final Girls. She's great in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Happy Thank You More, Please, which I haven't seen, and 27 Dresses, which I haven't seen.
Me neither. See, look, they're going through the toy store to get to the Diamond Exchange. Classic Rusty.
Oh, yeah, she's in
Great Thieves
Children's Hospital.
Oh, yeah. And she plays the Swede. Like, the person that she plays in that, like, not her character, but the actress she plays in that, the only English she knows is from what she talks in the show. You know, like, she just knows English from the script, but in real life, her actor doesn't know English. That's what I like about that show a lot. It breaks the fourth, fifth, and sixth wall. Like, they're not just playing characters, they're playing actors in that show, too.
Season one of Burning Love, which is amazing.
Oh, that's an incredible show.
She's in Wanderlust, which I'm going to see for the first time. As this comes out, I will have already heard it.
Seen it.
Whatever verb.
Oh, is it the other guy from Lost? Is that MC Gainey or whatever?
MC Gainey, is it? Yep, the helicopter pilot. Also Swamp Thing from Con Air.
God.
The other Simon West Nicolas
Cage
team
right.
up. Do you have Someone Returns from another Cage movie? Because that's one.
I liked him a lot on Lost. He's a very threatening dude, and then... I forget how he died on that show. I don't think he does.
Wistful Thinking co-host Cara Gale-Vegan is currently rewatching Lost and is growing very tired of the show very quickly.
Really?
Yeah, she's not a fan.
Has she ever been a fan?
I think she used to like it. I think it just, I'm not sure if it ages well.
Uh-oh.
I mean, it started 13 years ago, 14 years ago.
just remember.
It is, in my brain, my favorite show of all time. So.
Was it Shannon and Saeed? That was probably, like, my favorite stuff back then.
Well, that doesn't last very long.
No, but that was great. Wait, who played Shannon, though? She's some...
Maggie Grace.
Yeah, yeah.
Taken Girl. You're going to get taken.
Oh, you know what was weird? I don't know what this is... Why this jump? Maybe because she looks a little like Leslie Bibb, I guess. But at the Oscars,
that's not bad.
When Rockwell and Bibb were together, it reminded me of Iron Man 2.
I don't know if they were dating.
Me neither. But in Iron Man 2, he's trying to like get her to interview him, and then Tony Stark comes and like steals her away or something.
Yep. I do like that they're overt sexism. I'm crossing that off there because she's like, I'm not sitting in the car here, so I can hear you come up with ways to talk about the word vagina, like. She, like, the movie, it's not great. Like, it's not super progressive for women, but she's smart enough to know that, like, I'm dealing with him because I have to because he's on my team, but I don't have to deal with his bullshit. I'm going to get out of the car and, you know, do my own thing. If we see a red sports car, I win. He didn't sing along to that song, did he? To Creedence?
No, but he doesn't sing along to Lowrider either. Oh, but you have sings
along?
I have
singing on here, yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, that's some of the stuff we miss for not being able to hear everything exactly. Like, I can't tell if they're making bets, you know, sometimes if they're for gambling. Like, you want to bet how long this takes me?
Well, we would be able to read that. I think it's more like the context, like the bad accent. Is, like, stuff like that's hard to hear.
Later in the movie is the fastest heist in film history. Can't wait for that.
Faster than in Ocean's 12, where it happens off-screen? Shout out to Cinemakers.
Here they go.
At the beginning of Jingle All the Way, they're just straight up robbing a toy store, right? Like, that's they're not
Jingle All the Way? I've not seen Jingle All the Way. That's Schwarzenegger.
Ever?
I've seen some of it. I saw him when he starts to go to get the... I've seen the part at the mall. I'll put it that way.
Where he goes to get Rocket Man. Turbo Man.
Turbo Man for the first time. And then starts the rivalry with Sinbad.
Yeah.
And I know Phil Hartman is like the neighbor.
Yep.
R.I.P. Phil Hartman. But no, I didn't know it started with like a heist.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. No, it's not a heist. It's just like they're common thieves.
What are they, stealing Turbo Man? Been had
by the best. They are so confused.
That guy looks familiar. He's not on Westworld or something, is he?
I have no idea. Maybe.
You watch Westworld?
I do. My sister just went to a Westworld party at South by Southwest.
Oh.
She got on a bus and they shuttled her 30 minutes off site, and there was like this whole like recreation of the town.
Yeah, Greg posted some stuff on his Twitter about that. That we had on for
Greg McLennan?
Yeah.
From the Draft House?
I think he heard something that was really funny. He's like, overheard at the Westward party something like, this is fun, but like, I think I'm ready to go. And I don't know, someone mistook him for part of the attraction because of what he like replied. It was a pretty funny tweet, if you're into tweets.
I like tweets.
Tweets are all right.
The kids are all right.
Oh, that movie's all right. It's got The Rough in it.
Is that, who are the two women in that?
It is Annette Bening.
From The Contender.
Oh, yeah. Yeah? Is she in The Contender?
No, who is the, no, that's Joan Allen.
Joan Allen. And then the other one is from...
Julianne Moore?
Yeah, yeah. Julianne Moore. Ginger, Julianne...
They're robbing a bank! They're robbing a bank!
It's not the diamonds, it's around the corner.
Do we see any red sports cars? Not yet. You know what I'm saying? Twin Peaks connection. Audrey handcuffs herself to a giant safe, giant vault. They broke into a vault.
I don't know what I mean.
Hey, man, that one's open to interpretation.
Cage is running.
Cage works out.
Oh, that's different. He's not working out.
Sort of. It's a workout.
It's a workout. It's different than working out. Fine. He's at work.
Fine.
And he's outside.
Why couldn't one of these cops be driving like a real cool cop car, like a sports car?
He gets caught, right? They catch Cage.
Yeah, but he goes to that like warehouse outside.
Oh, and I can't believe
he hides the money.
Mm-hmm. This opening is way longer than I remember. Now, why did they have to do that again?
Because the doors were locked, I think? Unclear.
That's a nice bank. Wow.
This is like Dark Knight nice
bank.
Yeah. You know what? You have any idea who you're stealing from?
Oh, I remember this now. He shoots in the leg because he kills the guy.
Yep.
People say that? No homicide?
Cage does.
Such a great line, though. It's like, instead of just no killing, no homicides.
No homicide.
You already committed Grand Theft Auto, breaking an entry, you know,
yeah,
grand larceny, but no homicide.
Well, that's different, because that can cover, you know, first degree homicide.
No, yeah, you murder, go to jail for life, yeah. Oh, my beautiful leg. We were best friends up until this point.
Things are all going to go downhill here. You better never have a kid. Oh, wait, too late.
Wait, we know he has a kid.
I know.
It better never grow up, though. Wait. Dude, trying to say the cop shot him?
We might have missed a Cage grunt, I wonder. Like he might have been...
he totally grunted, I'm right. Sure of it. I'm going
to... Lugging him to the car?
I just need a maniacal laugh, and I'm good.
I just need a red sports car. Singing in a bad accent, I'd win. Montage on the beach, I'd win. Don't think that's going to happen.
Mark Valley as Fletcher. Okay, Mark Valley, what else have you been in?
Go to cageclub.me, grab a Cage Club bingo card. Play along with us, play along by yourself.
Was the human target. Okay, I remember him now. That was a pretty good show based on a pretty good comic.
Cage, throwing bags of money at cops.
Why not?
If you have Cage stands on something weird, he just ran on top of the cop car, so that's... I would count that for that.
Loving the music.
New Orleans police.
Steal that cop car, Cage!
Look, I mean, this is like straight up Gone in 60 Seconds style Cage. Like, this is him driving like a champion.
Okay, so now there's a lot of cars. It looks very populated, but on the block they were filming. I mean, I know it's 4 a.m.
Well, but also it's New Orleans. That's the other thing. I think we talked about that maybe when we recorded the episode. Is like in the beginning when the guy is peeing, like the cops might be clearing the streets because like it's an active investigation. But like there is literally no one on what appears to be like a very main drag in New Orleans. And here it's literally only cop cars. Like, I don't know if that's for budgetary reasons, probably. I don't know if that's intentional. I don't know if that's what New Orleans actually looks like at 4 a.m.
I don't know. I always kind of thought of it as like a...
Look at that buster. Can't even drift up a parking deck.
Not the DK,
I'll
tell you
that much. Once a buster, always a buster.
Yeah, I just figured New Orleans is a real lively city,
absolutely.
Like at all times of the night. And, yeah, and...
Especially, no, actually, we're going to jump in time. I was going to say, because we're especially close to Mardi Gras, but we're not. We're just going to jump in time later. So.
Oh, right, yeah. This heist isn't... This might not be taking place on Mardi Gras as far as the heist.
Cops running into each other.
This is one of the better parking lot sort of chase downs.
Did you watch that movie,
Beep, beep, boop.
It's the Netflix movie. I watched that Fantastic Fest last year. Frank Grillo.
Oh, with the driver guy?
Yeah.
I have not seen it yet.
It's not great, but there's like a pretty okay...
I'm very weary now of Netflix movie feature films.
As you should be. But I mean, Gerald's Game was also original.
No, I know. No, I'm not saying that it's impossible to have a good one. Hey, Annihilation was released on Netflix in Europe. So, like, clearly they get great movies from time to time. But, you know, overall I don't have much faith...
Well, because that's the other thing, because there's the difference between production and distribution. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Like, yes, yes, yes.
Because they had nothing to do with Cloverfield, they just
no,
bought it.
Right, yes. They just chose to distribute a shitty movie as opposed to, like, make it from the ground up, right?
But I still do think that we talked about, like, on that
and same with Mute, we should say. Like, they didn't produce that, they just distributed.
The thing with the thing with Cloverfield Paradox is that what we essentially talked about on that non-episode conversation we had right before that episode of Cinemakers
yeah.
is, like, it genuinely doesn't matter whether Netflix stuff is good or not. If what they do and the waves they make and the movies that they acquire get enough people to join their service, they come out ahead.
Yeah, they just have to, but the thing is they have to keep them there. Like, I can understand, like, every month getting new subscribers, but holding on to those subscribers is the key issue. Is like, you have to maintain a certain amount of quality content.
But I still think that, like, there is such a quantity of things available.
Oh, it's more, I mean, look, the good far outweighs the bad for Netflix.
Netflix historically does not release their numbers.
The good outweigh the bad, but I'm just saying its reputation is not, I mean, it's just taking a few hits this year pretty hard.
But that's also coming from you, who, like, watches a lot of things. Like, there's a whole
that too.
World
yeah, I mean,
of
I'm
casual
a whole
observers
other right.
who just, like, who...
Right, who loved Cloverfield.
Well, no,
for
not,
what
I'm
it
not
was.
Like saying that. Like, they just, like, to watch TV means to watch Netflix. Like, you know, they just, like, they Netflix at night.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
It's their network, right.
Yeah.
I hear that. Yeah. That's just... Yeah, and that's how people are being raised, too. Same with Amazon and stuff. Like, every streaming app is a network now.
Yep.
Just raised on a different model.
Where is the money? Cage hit it?
It's got to be in here somewhere. What, they don't even, like, investigate where the money is?
We jump 8 years later.
Everyone looks exactly the same except for Blondie.
Blondie? Oh, yeah. And also the daughter.
Oh, we didn't see her.
Right.
But yes.
I hope he gets picked up in a red sports car.
Wait, did he go to Texas prison? Why is that... Why was the state of Texas on the jail there? Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, New Orleans and Texas do... Louisiana and Texas do butt up against each other, so it's possible that, like, he was arrested on one... I don't know. Maybe they were... I don't know.
They only have permission to film at the Texas
prison.
I mean,
this bus is a Texas bus, too, so it's not an accident. It is intentional.
What is that about?
It doesn't make sense, but it's intentional.
Yeah, it's not a bunny, but it is a funny stuffed animal he's holding.
I think the only... That's such a terrible
line.
Hope
you got raped every day. Dude.
I know it's not a bunny, but it's weird that only two movies, I believe, that Cage ever has a stuffed animal are both Simon West movies. Like, what
do
you have to
that? Oh, yeah, it's a Simon West thing. It's definitely a director thing. Because, dude... Look at it. It's
prominently in the shot.
It's such an out of place prop. Like it's so in your face. Oh, there's the inside of the killer cab.
Yeah, he must have gotten like extradited to Texas or something, or like maybe. Mm.
Oh, maybe it's. I don't know. This is dumb. But if he lived there and he just committed the crime in Louisiana,
I don't think. I don't know.
I don't know.
Because New Orleans and Texas are not close. Louisiana and Texas. Are up against each other. New Orleans is like way deep down in Louisiana, like hours and hours from Texas. So it's not like it's on the border where
right.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Oh, I like it even more now because of this. And look at this guy's hat. What the hell? 8 years and that's all you've got?
Pretty solid. pretty.
I love how they're still partners after 8 years. Like they're not giving this up until Cage gets out and they find that money.
I mean, like, it's their great white whale. That's what they were looking for. It's what they tried
that's
to
true.
Get. It's...
Yeah.
What is
that? He is their Moby Dick.
Is it this movie? Or is it... What movie is it where, at the end, Cage, like, throws that thing into the water? You know what I'm talking about?
This ends in the water. With the blade leg and everything, and...
No. This is
and the car,
one.
And
well,
she's
like a, it's
in
like
the
a
trunk,
happy...
and then it catches on fire.
No. This is like a happy ending.
No,
where
and then they have like a picnic.
Is that this movie?
I believe, and they have the gold bar.
That's what it is.
That's this movie.
Okay.
It's the very, very end.
Because they're watching him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this movie ends in a very different place than you would imagine. Like... When the movie starts, there we go, some classic Nolans.
Oh, I thought those red sports cars were just the yellow taxi cab. Unfortunately.
I wonder if we see Sonny walking down the street.
Or Acid Yellow.
I don't know if he goes out during the day.
I don't know if he goes out.
I don't know that he goes out at all.
go check out Sonny, the only movie that Cage ever directed, 2002, mm-hmm. starring James Franco, which Tommy Wiseau,
yes.
director, writer, star, producer of The Room, loved so much that he's like, James Franco can play me in a movie. Which is amazing.
I couldn't believe my ears when I was watching. I don't remember who I was. I thought it was Kimmel or Colbert or whoever, but Franco and Wiseau were both on, and someone asked him what his favorite film was, and he just goes, Sonny. I love Sonny. And Franco goes, ah, oh, he likes this movie I did with Nick Cage in New Orleans. Yeah. And yep. Now I get it, though, but New Orleans, because that's where Tommy's from. That's where that accent is.
So of course.
He loves New Orleans yeah. movies, and Sonny is so New Orleans. So yeah. Franco is so good in that, too.
Do you think she looks like a young Angelina Jolie?
I think she's got the look, like the very full lips, the pixie haircut, the white sort of skin. Like to me, she looks like a young Angelina Jolie. But that's just me.
That's just wistful thinking.
Maybe a young Angelina Jolie from Hackers. Like that's where I'm getting like most of her style
Maybe.
From.
It's like a nice gesture. Like I get that this shows that he's out of touch and doesn't know how to connect with her, but like, it's still a nice gesture. I think.
But he should have given her a book because he used to read to her at night. So if like he showed up with a book or something, then it might have been a little.
I mean,
more...
he just got what he could get at that stand. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he stopped somewhere. He got
Maybe
off the bus.
Maybe if he had just stopped somewhere.
Yes.
You'd think it'd be easier to find like a bookstore than like a novelty stuffed animal. Stand.
Well, this is just at, like the newspaper stand on the side of the road.
How many newspaper stands? I mean, all the ones I ever go to.
Every one in New Orleans.
Huge stuffed animals hanging off the side.
Every
of them.
Single one in New Orleans sells stuffed animals.
Especially on Fat Tuesday.
Of course.
I almost want to see how many hats are in this movie because the guy behind him
oh.
is wearing a weird hat.
Again,
more
we
handwriting.
Said more handwriting.
Wow.
We rarely see it. We saw him right in Red Rock. That looks similar enough. That's probably his handwriting. Again, I want a Cage Club font. I want a Nicolas Cage handwriting font.
You know, you should just, if we ever get in touch with him, just give him a piece of paper and just ask him to write, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z.
So then we'd have samples.
Capital and lowercase for each. Plus also every special character, plus also
numbers.
Every number.
Mm-hmm. Greek symbols, we'll do those too.
I don't know how to do that.
Well, there's only like a few of them. There's like the Alpha, Sigma, Omega, Epsilon.
I think there's like 20. I think there's like 20 letters in the Greek alphabet.
Yeah. Oh, where would she get abandonment issues? Go figure.
Uh-oh.
She's hailing Death Cab for Cutie.
5K20.
Oh, that's a Death Cab for Cutie. Isn't that a band?
It is a band.
Well, now it's a thing in this movie. Because she's the little cutie that's getting in the Death Cab. I kind of like her Hawaiian shirt skirt. Did you notice that?
Nope. Not yet. Oh, I can't
see
it. Well,
see there
you
go.
It is nice.
Yeah. A Hawaiian skirt?
Hawaiian skirt.
There we go. Medallion. Hawaii. Cage has been before. Honeymoon in Vegas.
Hawaii, not a too common
no.
location, but he's been there. But you were right. Honeymoon in Vegas. Probably again, maybe another time. Who knows?
Hope he gets there. Get back there. If they
ever
do like Hawaii 5-0, he could be on that.
Mullen. Dark hair.
Looks maybe younger than she did 8 years ago.
Checking out her ass. Again, overt sexism.
She's just now writing Happy Mardi Gras up on that board. You don't think she'd do that the first thing in the... Well, whatever.
It maybe she just got there.
You think she just got there?
Riley?
She knew what time it was. Whoa. His name's Riley?
Her name's Riley.
Oh, her name's Riley?
You know, what if National Treasure was Cage, Mullen,
oh, man.
And Diane Kruger?
Be more well balanced, I think.
Here we go.
She's like 25 years younger than Cage, but like they're still in the same crew and they came up together. And like...
I wonder what she. I mean, she's probably in real life 8 or 10 years younger than him. Because if he's born in 64, I'm guessing she's 72, 74.
Why don't I just check it out?
I'm going to guess August 1st, 74.
August 1st?
Yeah, why not? Okay, August 1st, 74, or October 11th, 72.
May 12th, 78.
Damn.
So she's a year older than me.
So she's 14 years younger than Cage. Ugh.
Wow. But yeah, they're not romantic in this, really. They're more just, like, good friends, right? I mean, even at the end, I don't get the sense that they're going to...
Give Cage drinks?
That they're going to compromise or anything. I don't even get the sense that they ever did. Just that they're friends or something.
No, but we still crossed off Unattractive Woman Finds Cage Irresistible.
Oh, because yeah.
She's just smitten by him.
And she's gorgeous. Like, her... I don't know. I think, like, her... What's... Who's the one? Oh, man, I'm doing so bad with names today, but...
Just be like Joe, too. The guy from Who?
She reminds me of... But it's such a bad, like, okay, the show... she was on the show Vinyl. She was the... Oh, my God. There's so many better examples of her. Married to Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde. She's, like, for me, like, the most beautiful girl in the world. But wow. Like, yeah, for me, like, that's my type, like, 120%. And I get a lot of that from Malin Ackman, sort of like the blonde version of her in a lot of ways. I don't know. I'm very attracted to Malin Ackman.
She was on the show for a couple episodes called Welcome to Sweden, which Amy Poehler created and wrote.
Yeah, I saw a couple episodes.
Based on her brother's real-life, you know, experience about marrying a Swedish girl and moving to Sweden without really speaking the language.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sweden's got two main exports, IKEA and Malin Ackman.
And Swedish fish.
Of course, three.
I'm surprised this guy didn't try and, like, disguise his voice, even though Cage was like, I don't, who are you?
What is his name? Like, it's Will Montgomery. Why is he calling him Gum?
Montgomery. Ugh. I know, it's terrible.
But I even, been, like, said the name in my head, and I was like, I don't get it.
It would have been better if he had, like, one of those voice boxes, you know, that he was, like, so fucked up and everything, that he had to talk like that. Like, I don't know what they call
those.
But,
like, the movie isn't trying to obscure who he is, you know what I mean? Like, he's...
Not exactly, no.
He just looks gross.
Yeah, I know, he is so greasy now.
That is a visible tattoo, but not for Cage, not a Cage visible tattoo.
I like how Cage is
Cage
like...
Oh, Cage drinks alcohol. We need to get that.
I like how he's like, he's about to be like, so where are you? Like, let's hang out. I got the money. And, like, this guy's blowing it before he gets a chance.
Yep.
You know, he's like, you left me. I hate you, you cocksucker. Fuck you, Cage. And Cage is about to be like, dude, where you been? I got the money.
Is this overreaction?
Is him?
Cumulative overreaction.
I mean, it's hard to say unless you've been shot in the leg and fucked out of, like, all that money for 8 years and then had to drive a cab. Well, not that the driving the cab is the bad thing, but, like, whatever else he did to himself. See, he's
now
having a great day at work.
The daughter's still in the back seat, I guess so, right?
Yeah.
Because she's talking right now.
Which is a great reveal,
right? I'm a cab driver now. She kind of looks more like a young Anne Hathaway to me than she does a young Angelina Jolie. A little bit.
You know what it is? I think it's like the sort of like the chubby cheeky kind of thing. Like, I remember Angelina Jolie had like those chipmunk cheeks and, well, whatever. I see Hathaway too. I see with the, it's the hair. Hathaway rocked that hair for a long time.
Is... This girl, I don't look up the girl. Does she go on and do anything else?
Not that I could see. I looked her up very briefly.
Stolen. Sammy Gale, Alison Loeb. Still rocking the same haircut. Oh, she's in 162 episodes of Blue Bloods.
Oh, wow, okay. She got work.
which is...
Oh, someone made a threat when Cage said, if you touch a hair on her, I'll come up there and kick your ass.
Yeah, she's been in every episode but 9 of Blue Bloods. She was in Vampire Academy. Oh. She had a small part in Noah. She was in the Congress, which is great. Yeah, like, that's the thing, like, you know, there's obviously working actors, but then there's also actors who go on to have, like, she's set for life because of Blue Bloods now, what I mean? But, like, I don't watch that show, so I don't know.
Right. But there's this blade leg, oh, God, I couldn't believe it, look at that. Like, how could you afford that leg, dude? He should have a peg leg or something, or, like, a crappy plastic one. Those blade legs are, like, super legit, you know, they're for athletes and stuff.
And Oscar Pistorius, who killed his wife or girlfriend.
He was an athlete.
I know.
Yeah.
The blade. But now he's a murderer.
No, yeah. That trumps anything else that he'll ever do in his life. Do you think he's guilty? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I'm not getting into this.
100%.
No. Oh, no. I mean, there's really no question, as far as I could tell. It's like, it was amazing. What was that moment?
These guys are so
impressive.
Look at
them. They're just beating the shit out of them. They are cops.
He gets pushed out of the way, and then he just, like, goes and hugs the cop. And then the guy, like, forcefully puts, you know, beads around his neck. One gets thrown into the car, and then one gets punched in the face. So, hey, man.
She doesn't have, like, extreme allergies or anything like that, right? What movie was from, that was that Charlize movie we watched.
Trapped.
Where her daughter, what did she have? Diabetes? Was it extreme diabetes or something? Or
no.
Asthma. Extreme asthma. But it was, like, killer asthma.
It was supposed to be diabetes, but that was in Panic Room. But because Panic Room had already come out, they changed it to diabetes. Or they changed it to asthma, I mean. Oh, boy. Kids in movies, never usually good.
So I just got a text from my sister saying that my niece and nephew want to go to Toys R Us tonight because they think it's going to be closed by next week. Because Toys R Us is closing all their brick-and-mortar stores in America.
Is that official? Last I heard, they were going to see it. They were thinking about it.
It's looking to be pretty official. If not, the word has spread really quickly, and people think that Toys R Us is closing next week.
My Walmart closed.
Oh, really? I don't know. There's no Walmarts near me. We have a Target pretty close.
What sucks is that the Walmart came in, and I mean, it's probably my parents' house, but it... It came in, and it basically chased out all the mom-and-pop shops that, like, sold the same kind of stuff. And then it was open for about a decade, and now I think because... I just think because the town they live in is really difficult to negotiate with, they just closed up shop. And so now there's, like, nowhere to buy anything. Like, you have to go online to buy stuff, or you have to drive, like, 20 minutes. It's terrible.
That sucks. Thanks a lot, Walmart.
You just get a lot of money for phone. He's running a lot. Still not considering this necessarily a workout.
No, but as long as he's running.
What, you're crossing off running or working out?
Running. Cage starts running.
Yep. Going full coloring on this
I'm
one,
I'm going
huh?
nuts. Yeah. No, I've decided, like, at what point I'm going full square color.
You're going to owe me, like, 11 cents for that Sharpie.
It was already kind of...
I know, it wasn't... It was already running
dried
low.
Out, but...
The fact that you're able to get that much out of it is surprising. I don't know why he decorated the back, like...
Yeah, that's weird. Just, that's his weirdness, right?
For comfort? I don't know.
But for comfort?
Well, he sprayed everything down, like, added, like, a padded layer. I guess
soundproofing? That was for soundproof, yeah.
And then he laid this down, but why did he put the stars in there?
Freak her out, maybe? That's what I think. Just to disorient her?
Who can never be sure? Look out that back. See a red sports car. Give me that win.
Bumper to bumper.
There's so many cars and none of them are red.
That's a kind of interesting shot of four buildings, none of which they're in.
He's probably in that one.
No, there's no way there's... Oh, look, that's an actual FBI field office of New Orleans. You think it's the actual field office?
Maybe. Possible.
What if Richard Jeffries walked in the door and then vanished?
Whoa, and then became a tea kettle?
So I read something where Lynch said he didn't mean for him to look like a tea kettle. He was just supposed to be in a machine. Was this a flashback?
It is a flashback. Although it's not really a true flashback. I'm still going to give it to you. Because this is what he's saying happened, but he didn't actually...
That's okay. It doesn't have to be what actually happened. As long as it took place previously. Even if it didn't actually take place that way. It's kind of interesting how he goes to this guy who's been hunting him for help. And he's like, I'll do whatever you want. You know, you've been chasing me. Just help me get my daughter, and you win. And the guy's like, you know what? No. I won't help you.
Yeah. Doesn't make a ton of sense, but at the same time, why would he help Cage, who's been a criminal who he's been trying to pursue?
Because Cage is like, I will give myself up. Right? Didn't he say that after?
Yeah, I guess. But also, I mean, maybe he doesn't trust Cage.
I could see
that. Maybe that's the problem.
It looks like he's been screwed over a lot. And then he's got to deal with that guy.
Well, let's get a swiper on the... Oh, he's got like an ID scanner, I guess, or something? Or
maybe that's a cop thing where like you could swipe a card and get like unlock something.
I don't know. Maybe.
And maybe it's just like a security thing. Like you have to swipe the card to access the computer or something.
I think that's probably more what it is. Because how often is this FBI guy going to have somebody's ID in his hand?
Yeah. Especially the guy who's out, like, he's out there. They're trying to find.
It's probably just an access thing. Still strange. Like, why include that in the movie? Who knows?
Unless it was really the field office and that's what their computers are like.
I'm imagining if the FBI is letting them film in their office, they're not letting them use an actual FBI computer. I mean, maybe. But at the same time, probably not.
See, there's a card key for the elevator. Everything in this office has a card key for it.
Ooh, it's about to be a Captain America scene.
Oh. Everyone piling into the same elevator?
Cage warming up a little bit, cracking the neck.
There he goes. Oh, he didn't ask if anyone wanted to get off first.
Now he's got the FBI badge. Setting them up to the 17th floor.
There seem to be a lot of floors in that building.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because it's the high rise. Like, that's the building that they're in, you know what I mean?
Alright.
They're not just showing four random-ass buildings.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, going back to when I made my student film, I showed the exterior of one building and shot in the interior of a different
movie
building.
Movie magic! I feel like I'm struggling with this bingo card. I am not going to get a lot of these. I got to hope for singing and a bad accent, or a red sports car, or a workout and an overreaction. I feel like we've probably been close on overreaction.
This reminds me a little of Seeking Justice, where he kind of just acts like he belongs somewhere and gains, yeah, and he like gains access just by, you know, being so casual.
I can feel it.
It'd be amazing if this was an actual FBI computer and they're showing, like, real, like, information without realizing it, you know, like, in between screens.
And they're like, oh, Simon West, you're supposed to edit all that out. Like, well, I mean, nobody really told me.
How am I supposed to know?
Hello!
Very nice.
There's Swamp Thing. Crap.
I remember watching this for the first time alone when the music would kick in. I just literally started laughing out loud as hard as I could because it's just amazing. It's just music.
Not only is Cage acting like he fits in, but he knows exactly where to go and how to get out.
Like he's been there a lot. You wouldn't want to just maybe hold on to that? Ooh, nice Hulk float.
Shout out, Mark Ruffalo. There's a red car, not a sports car.
Those yellow glasses. I don't remember those. Yellow glasses, yellow cab. Any significance to the cab number, 5K20? 5,020?
Probably not. 5 kilo 20.
5 cage 20.
Again, I don't know if that's intentional or if that's just the cab they used, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Again, unclear.
Well, that's uncalled for.
Well, he's just a piece of shit.
I guess again, that is called for, too, but to, yeah, really express who he is.
There's no way that guy heard him. That's just like a coincidence.
Oh, terrible accent. Who's this, an Australian guy?
Yeah, I'm going to cross off bad accent.
He's
so
like,
I just need
oh, mate,
singing.
I've got the ship. We're getting out of here. You want to come?
Who are you? You new Doug?
Another day, another Doug.
You need either singing or a red sports car.
If he laughs maniacally, I win.
Cage or anybody?
Cage. Yeah, get the Bobby ready with some shrimp.
Foster's.
One of them is Preggers, eh? I've got to get off the blow.
He's gonna chuck a wobbly.
Oh, I love it.
This is kind of amazing.
Yeah, as bandicoot as a burnt ridge. I don't know about these chicks. They're quite different in New Orleans, aren't they?
She's literally making... She's penetrating the back seat, and yet...
Just about barely touching that guy. Now's where she should yell through the hole, though.
You would think that would make sense. However, I think she's probably trying to alert him without alerting the driver, but, like, if you got touched, you would be like, what the fuck is... What, like, what do you have in your trunk? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's
know.
No way you could alert him without alerting the driver. He'd be like, there's a hand coming out, mate! He's like, what's in your trunk, bloke?
Unless she passes, like, a note through where it's just like, I'm in the trunk, don't say anything, I need help. You know?
I'm wondering how they did the blade leg effect. Do you think he was wearing a big green sock and they actually had digital artists come in and put the blade on?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe.
It just doesn't seem like the type of movie that could do that. Like, that would have that budget or the means. But they're like, ILM, we've got this job for you. It's of the highest priority. There's only one effect in the entire movie, but we need you to CGI this blade leg onto our guy.
Straight to VOD. Normally, just about the same level of quality that you're used to doing.
Well, I mean, you know, it looks as good as Bucky's arm, so that's why I was sort of like, how do they get that effect to work?
We'll have to look in the closing credits for, you know, Visual Effects Studio or whatever, if we remember. We're already halfway through this movie.
Alright.
I think mentally I'm not going to have a fourth one in me.
That's fine. I'm not sure I'm going to... Especially if it's going to be Pay the Ghost. Nope. I don't think we're going to be paying a ghost tonight. That's fine. Oh, the cutest dogs. I love dogs, man.
Swamp Thing. So cruel to dogs.
And therefore I hate him as a person.
That's an overreaction.
Yeah.
Need Cage to work out, a red sports car, or someone to sing. One of three things happens and I win.
Drop the bag. In the other Simon West film, didn't he say drop the bunny? No,
put the
bunny
back
in the bag.
In the box.
Okay, back in the box. Okay, so never mind.
Put the bunny back in the box.
That was a good Cameron Poe.
Was it?
I thought so. Yeah. All right. You got like that mute, because he's like muted and like drawly.
Yeah, all right.
What was his wife? I forget his wife's name. Was it? It wasn't Priscilla, right?
I don't remember.
Anyway, but when he's in prison, he's like, "Dear Priscilla, or whatever, dad is coming home." You know?
Is he writing letters to his wife or to his kid?
I think to both. I think it's mostly to his kid. Yeah, because the daughter's writing back like, Daddy, today some boy at school called me a bad name, but I said, I don't care, because you're nothing. You know, and then he's like, that's very good, child. It's that whole opening sequence.
Child.
Dad'll be home real soon.
It's a cool camera shot, but I mean, it's, you know.
Lunch all over this carpet. He's threatening people left and right, dude. I like that moment in Lost where Michael's in Manhattan and runs into him and takes him to his apartment. He's got like a really nice place and he's like well off and it's like, what? You didn't think I only lived on the island, did you? He's like, I can leave. I was like, oh, that's really interesting.
The will broke. The leg broke his spirit, Will.
The leg broke his spirit. He blames it on you, Gum. He blames the numb on Gum.
Sure. Why not? Hey, you should look out that window and just check out that red sports car passing you by.
Nope. Oh, good move. Damn. Nice little fight. This is kind of like a Blade Runner fight where, like, the bigger guy's going to lose to the smaller guy.
I was also thinking it's like a looking glass fight where it's,
Oh, in the eye. Oh,
What movie was it where the guy... What movie we just watched where the guy got his eyes gouged out?
Yeah, I watched too much. You're right.
It was... Oh, fuck.
I'm checking my Instagram.
Oh, damn it. Not firing on all cylinders right now.
No. Man, was it Trapped? This had to be way back.
Oh, boy.
Was it Mute? Was we watching Mute?
Oh,
what happened in that
boy, bad
movie? God's Pocket?
Yeah, it was God's Pocket.
Okay.
Because remember they send the big guy just...
Yeah, the spaghetti face.
Yep.
Right, and that guy just fucks him up. Dude, that was a... You want to know how far back God's Pocket was? February 18.
It was like 3 weeks ago? All right.
And then Looking Glass was three movies after for me. So Looking Glass was February 21st. Oh, Florida Project was so good. Oh, I saw Death of Stalin. I totally recommend that movie. You know, I got like a real sort of like end of the world vibe from it after Stalin dies, almost as if like it felt like nukes were launching to a degree. It felt like one of those types of movies.
Yeah.
Like on the brink. I really liked that.
That was the secret screening at Fantastic Fest, and they had Armando Iannucci there.
Oh, cool.
Which was cool.
I don't think there's a single Russian playing a Russian in that entire movie. I think they're all American and British guys.
Yep.
Which took me a minute to realize, and then once I saw Steve Buscemi, I was like, okay, that's what they're doing.
I really liked was when they do a secret screening at Fantastic Fest, they don't tell you what it is, they just like let it play. And when I realized, I think I realized what it was more like earlier than most people. And so like early on, like if you don't know what you're watching, and you don't know that it's an Armando Iannucci film, you're like, this all seems funny, but like I don't think I should be laughing.
Oh, it starts and ends very dark.
But like,
I think.
But it's supposed to be, like it's funny. Like,
but
it's
the middle
to...
is like a riot. Yeah, the middle is insane. No, it's total satire. Yeah, and the fear that those guys like were under. And the, like the very last shot of the movie is really great. Setting up Stalin and everything. I mean, setting up. Damn it.
The general?
No, Lenin.
Oh, yeah,
Lenin,
yeah.
Setting up, like, at the very end of that movie, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in 6 months, so...
Oh, sorry.
I've seen a lot of movies between then and now.
No, I mean, like, I've seen a lot since I've seen that movie, and that was just, like, last month. Let's see, whatever. I've seen... See, Death of Stalin, since then. Naked Lunch, which I loved. Rififi, which is a pretty good French heist film. Waking Up in Reno, Thor Ragnarok, Godzilla vs. Hedorah, Patterson, Godzilla vs. Gigan, Akira, and Star Trek The Motion Picture.
And then today's Cage movies.
And then today's Cage films. Yeah, well, dude, you live and work in New Orleans. You should expect a certain level of, like, drunkenness and, you know, inconvenience on Mardi Gras.
No, no, no. He's saying that, like, he can't believe that on Mardi Gras, this cop is wasting his time pulling this guy over for a broken taillight and not, like, taking care of bigger business.
I gotcha.
That's his point.
He was saying, like, I hate this place, man. Like, I don't know
why.
No.
He's just saying, like, because he's trying not to get the cop to check out the trunk.
Yeah.
But now...
Because this is so crazy. Because he had tremendous vanity.
This cop just signed his death warrant.
This cop's life is about to be stolen. Has anyone said stolen in the movie?
I don't think so.
That is insane. Like, that the guy didn't even go, you've stolen all this money.
Do you want to give a shout-out to former Cage Club guest Austin Wolf Southern, whose letterbox review of this is yet another documentary that proves how Nicolas Cage has stolen my heart. Which is a great review. And a great joke.
Yeah, and check out his comedy, too. I like it. So far, I've only heard his purge humor, but I like it.
How to Purge at Home. I feel like we were talking about when we were watching that clip that I feel like there's a lot of people who joke about the purge as a concept. Like, Scott Aukerman talks about the purge a lot on comedy.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't, like, make jokes about the concept. They just use the purge as a joke.
Yeah, like filing your taxes on purge night so that you could claim all the dependents and stuff. Like, that's really good joke. Yeah, all the other things. It's not just murder, guys. There's tons of crimes you could be committing on purge night.
This summer they're going to have the first purge, which is based on Trump.
I liked the last one. I think the last one was the first one that really felt to me truly like what I wanted from a Purge movie, which is like mayhem in the streets.
Well, it's rare that franchises get better as they go on.
Yes.
But like Fast and Furious did, for the most part. I mean, 2's not.
And it's the third one where it kind of shifts into gear.
And yeah, and the Purge 2 was better than 1, and 3 was, I think, really good.
Yeah. I never saw 1, but I saw 2 and 3. Oh, no, I saw 1 and 3. 1 was Ethan Hawke in the house.
Yep.
Yeah, that played to me more just like a straight... It could have just been an invasion, home invasion movie, which is what kind of bugged me about it. I wanted to be out there in the world of the Purge. Like that Rick and Morty episode where they go to, like, the Purge world, and then they go to another planet and accidentally, like, introduce the Purge to it as part of their society. So they do really good... Dan Harmon does a really good riff on the Purge on Rick and Morty.
I like that. I mean, it's not really harped on here, but Cage doesn't know what GPS is because between 2004 and 2012...
Mm-hmm. He's been in prison.
He didn't know what GPS was. So, like, it's a minor thing. It's a little thing.
I actually wish there were maybe a couple more things like that, like him being out of touch. Oh, that guy has the... He is the... Like, I love this guy. The dispatcher... He's got the greatest accent, but should not be a cab dispatcher, because you really can't understand what he's saying, unless you're, like, born and raised in New Orleans.
But I think that's mostly... I mean, I guess I was going to say that mostly cab drivers are, but probably not. They're probably mostly immigrants from other places who just, you know, are working the cabs, and deciphering this deep, deep New Orleans drawl is not the easiest thing in the world.
He's literally like, hold on,
He's also using the cab dispatch line as like open mic ceremony, yeah. Where he's just like, you know, I got a question for you. He's like, 9 inches and can reload after 14 minutes in a tickle. Like, no, I'm not talking about your dick here. I'm talking about, like, I have a guy with a gun in my face. Can you please stop fucking around for literally
so
1 minute and help me out here?
Cage has, he's driving with one arm and he's got the cab driver at gunpoint and he's driving awesome with one arm.
Well, we saw him do that 180 before. Like, he's a good driver, I guess.
There's just something really funny about all that.
Burgundy.
What does he say in Seeking Justice? He's like, we're from New Orleans. Who dat? Right? Is that it?
Yes.
Who dat?
Because who dat is the Saints thing, and who day is the Bengals thing. I guess it's just or New Orleans thing and the Cincinnati thing.
Okay. I didn't even know about the Cincinnati thing side of it. Are they rivals?
I don't think so.
You just turn white on me all of a sudden.
Who dat is? There it is. Who dat is?
One what could is, say, yeah, you could say that he's driving worse now that he has.
That is, yeah, like he's like why is the car seems a little like it's on edge, like slanted too? Is that just the camera? Yeah, go back to the one-handed speed racer stuff. There's kicks in the music. You know what? When we watched this for the first time, too, I didn't realize how diverse the neighborhoods of New Orleans were. Like, the different wards and stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
everything
yeah,
looked
yeah.
very different, you know? Like, one, you could turn a street and get sort of, like, those traditional-looking cities, and turn a street and get, like, a, you know, a neighborhood like you see in my block, like the suburbs.
So you've never been to New Orleans?
No. And then another block is, like, straight up looks like New York or something. Yeah, I've never been. I really want to go.
Do it. That's great. I had a friend, I don't know if he still lives down there or not, I'm not sure, but I stayed with him for a couple of nights, and he went on my road trip with me, and he did like the first half of my trip.
Oh.
We were there for two nights. We saw, you know, music, got good food.
I want to go see Cage's mausoleum or his grave or whatever.
Chris and his girlfriend did that.
Yep.
God damn it, where's a red sports car?
Dude, every car except for red has driven across the screen.
Well, there was one red car, but it wasn't a sports car. There's no sports cars, period.
There's an Arby's I just saw.
At the restaurant?
Yeah, yeah.
Now he's looking for 5K20.
Yeah, 4K56.
There it is.
I wish there was
what?
A scene with
it's
him
not the right one.
On the float. That would be cool if he got, like, on the float and someone handed him a bunch of beads.
You know, we've seen in the... You know, this is not the first Cage movie with the parade... Also, one in The Weatherman, you know, when he's...
Oh, yeah, Thanksgiving
Day. In that.
Oh, that's so weird. So, remember I was telling you earlier that Tyler Wade may have broken his wrist?
Yep.
My nephew actually saw him and got his autograph, so he's just texting me
there you go.
A ball of his.
Yeah. You know, this is something I've seen in a bunch of movies, but... I
have
like
you seen
that
in a bunch of movies?
Well, no, but I like that dancing. They use, you know, ambient sound
oh, yeah.
to, like... ramp up like the tense feeling that you're having. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Like using the street music and stuff.
Like what's otherwise innocuous now that you know he's literally hunting for his daughter's life.
Yeah, that's cool. I do like that with that's the diegetic sound, right? Where it's like of the world.
Yep.
There it is.
Whoa. Oh, Cage.
Violation of parole?
Well, he has a gun.
Okay. All right. But, I mean, they sort of entrapped him, right? They're like, let's just arrest him and... I'm sure he broke his parole.
Yo, that's entreatment. He's about to Carlo Gugino himself in the
backseat. Oh, that's right. He breaks his own thumb to slip out of the... That's funny, Carlo Gugino. I don't think this is quite as extreme as that, as the flesh glove hand, whatever you're gonna, whatever, I don't even know how to describe that. It's like her skin is a glove. And...
Oh!
Yes! Do you think you could do something like that if your life depended on it?
No.
I sometimes
I
think
could,
about that.
I like mentally, I think I could. Physically, I don't know if I could.
I think I'd have to give it a good try, you know? And then they'd be like, what are you doing? Are you trying to escape? And then I'd be in more shit because I'd just have, like, a broken thumb and then I'd be caught.
Hurts me just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Is that a red sports car?
No,
or is it just
a
red
tractor? It is a nice little flip, though. I didn't think this movie would go there. We still have to melt all the gold out of the ceiling. I can't wait for that part.
That's still... Oh, my God.
But remember, that's like the fastest heist in film history, so...
There's only half an hour left in this movie, and we still have the whole, heist, like, big action scene to go, so...
The heist takes, like, literally 2 minutes. It's incredible.
Well, as the Letterboxd tagline says, never steal from the world's greatest thief.
But wait. They didn't steal anything from Cage, and he's not... Oh, get it. I'd like to wonder, do you know... Let's pretend this isn't...
What do you mean they didn't steal from Cage? He stole his daughter!
Oh, yeah, you're right.
What are you talking about?
No, well, that implies... It implies money, though. Like, they stole his stuff.
I've been doing a lot of New York Times crossword puzzles where, like, they imply one thing, but the answer's always something different. So, like...
Okay, well, all right.
There's implication, but there's also, like, the actual, like...
I mean, it's more of a kidnap. I mean, people say that people get kidnapped, not stolen, basically. When they say stolen, I just think of a thing, you know? Or, like, stuff, not a person.
Well, taken is the same thing.
Yeah,
kidnapping.
You can take a person, yeah. But they don't... I guess you steal people. But that also means you're going to, like, keep them forever. I don't know.
No,
that
I
just,
don't think so.
I agree. It just didn't... It's not what popped into my mind was, like, they didn't steal his money or anything. Like, he's the thief. Like... But imagine if this took place in the world of Oceans... would he be on the crew? You think they'd crew him up?
Cage?
Yeah.
Sure.
He'd go to New Orleans and Danny would be like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, hold on a second. And like, he's got to read his daughter
when
to bed at night.
When Danny's talking to Rusty, he'd be like, we need one shrimp gumbo. And that's code for just, you know, a New Orleans Southern flair.
I would have loved to have seen him on that crew.
We still got time.
You're
he
right.
He might be in Ocean's 8. Uncredited.
I haven't seen the trailer. I won't know. I don't even know. I know Cate Blanchett's in it.
I watched most of the trailer because...
I know Sandy's in it. I know Ray Ray's in it. Like, I know who's in it, and I love the people in it, so... But that's where I was trying to go. I'm trying to do the Joe trailer diet for 2018 and avoid as many as possible this year, so...
Yeah, I don't remember why I watched as much as I did. I definitely didn't watch the whole thing, but I saw it in a theater...
That's where it's hardest, man. I've like all these different things, but then the sound is so loud. Like I was just looking back up at the end of the trailer.
I just don't usually remember the sound. I think it was because it was more like the trailer was essentially, this is our crew. So like they just showing.
Oh, okay.
It was like it wasn't like
just
plot.
Headshots
it was like
and stuff.
Well, it was like no, like they're going like it's Sandra Bullock going around like recruiting people kind
of. Oh, I say we need you. Do do do. Well, you want Rihanna on your team because she is a shape-shifting jellyfish.
Yep.
And master of disguise.
Yep.
So.
Good old Riri, and she's also a battleship.
Oh, man. I saw Battleship, which is also a Peter Berg movie. Which, you know, wouldn't mean anything to anybody listening, but within our little circle, like,
yes.
Tobin is familiar with Peter Berg.
Yep.
So I joke with him about it often. Oh, but Battleship did one thing kind of cool that there's like actual like Marines in that movie and guys with like who like did tours and like so there's a guy in there with like two prosthetic legs that fights the aliens and stuff and then at the end there's like real old Marine dudes and things so like I thought that was kind of nice about it. It tried to do like the Soderbergh thing where it's like let's incorporate the actual people.
Or apparently now the Clint Eastwood thing with the 1517 to Paris.
Oh, why? Are those the actual guys?
Yeah, those are the guys from the actual, like,
no.
Event.
Is that why they look like such terrible actors?
Yeah, because it's the actual people.
Oh.
That's why the trailer's, like, starring the people who were actually there or whatever. Like, that's the people.
Oh, I never saw that in the trailer. I didn't know the trailer said that. Oh, I totally missed that.
But that's, like, the whole thing, like, because there's no tension in the movie. Because, like, if they died,
yeah, they
wouldn't
play
themselves.
They
wouldn't be in the movie.
I don't like that they play themselves. That's weird. That seems kind of traumatic to go through that and then play it out again. And I guess maybe you could deal with trauma that way. There was something so off about that trailer, Joey. Like that was last year when I was watching lots of trailers. There was something so off. Like, is this a TV movie? Is this like, are they real? So that really nailed it for me that they're not actors. They're the real people who are involved in the incident.
In 1570 in Paris?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they definitely are.
Yeah. Something felt so off to me. Oh, there's also that part coming up where that horrible, like, ADR moment. And by horrible, I mean amazing. When they're, like, crossing the river because... remember what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Fat Tuesday, everybody go crazy. I saw a red car, man.
Here's the heist. So he's going to do the heist. And remember, he has Mal and Ackerman drive it, like, across the
river. Oh, with the dummy.
yeah. And there's that horrible ADR by the cops.
I don't remember the ADR.
It's, like, really shifty editing to sort of cut around, like, mistakes, it seems.
Pretty wonderful.
It's only, like, 20 minutes left, right?
You've got 26 minutes left, including credits.
And most of the movie, as far as, like, story and action...
Nothing is happening.
...is still left, yeah. This is the real race to the end sort of situation. It's also... she's like, all right, having faith. This also makes me wonder, like, if this was so easy to... not maybe not easy, but, like, if coming up with this plan was so simple and it was so quick, why wasn't this the plan 8 years ago?
Well, I think they might have said this in the movie. Like, he thought about it while he was in prison. Maybe not. Maybe I'm making it up.
That would fix it, though. Believe me, that's all I need is one line.
I kind of unironically like this movie. I definitely unironically like the movie. I kind of unironically like the music. I think it, like, it's not great, but I like it. Like, I think it's
okay,
perfect.
So, like, my only issue with it is that it sounds like it's MIDI. Like, it just sounds like a sketch of something that was going to be sort of filled out later on. Like, it just sounds, to me, cheap in that way. I like the style of it. It just doesn't fit what I'm watching for some reason, but that's cool. Like, it's not that it's terrible. It's just, like, it sounds like someone on their MIDI keyboard orchestrating this, and then they're going to put real instruments to it later. But whatever.
I love a heist. I love a good heist.
Oh, you know who he looks like with those goggles on?
Speckles Yanchu?
Yes. Totally.
We already did G-Force or Cage Lover Visited. Go check that one out. Cage plays an animated mole.
In a live-action movie.
In a live-action movie.
Yeah. Croods 2 still happening, right? Apparently, they have... I mean,
well, it's happening again. It's not still happening. It's like, I think they
still have to write and animate it all before then, even...
That's actually a good thing. I have not checked his IMDb recently.
I heard something. I have not been able to get confirmation of this, so I have not posted it on my third times a page, charm page, but National Treasure 3 with Cage for Disney's streaming service. As an exclusive film for Disney, when they get their streaming service up and running, they're going to do, like, Star Wars shows, Disney movies, and then original content. And so I heard National Treasure 3 is going to be the first Disney movie produced for their streaming service.
Well, that's all I need to buy to pay for the streaming service.
I mean, they had me already pretty much when they were like, we're doing Star Wars TV shows, like live action shows. It's like, okay, but National Treasure 3.
The Croods 2 in 2020. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man, okay. Yeah, it takes a while to make those movies.
Tonight on TMC, I guess that's the movie channel, maybe? Con Air.
Oh, okay.
Tonight as we're recording this, not tonight as you're listening to this. Here comes the gold melting
this
down.
Awesome. It's just dripping through. Would that even work?
I think it would have to be really, really hot.
Yeah, like, it would be a bigger fire. Like, it would set off alarms. If you were smelting gold from through the floor, like, it's insane. This is literally some of the most insane shit I've ever seen in a movie.
Well, isn't this sort of similar, in a way, to the movie we're about to watch for Watch the Throne, Italian Job, where they steal the bank from underneath, they steal the vault from underneath the bank? Or the safe from, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, like,
they steal an entire safe. They're not melting.
Yeah, that's
gold.
What I mean. I think, like, I understand, like, breaking in from underneath is, like, yeah, that's a way to
the
steal.
The other question
but...
is, how cold is that water by their feet that it's instantly re-solidifying
exactly.
the gold?
Yeah, there's just too many factors. And it's, like, these little, it looks like gold poop. You know, like poop emojis or something.
Now,
like...
is your question, do I love this? The answer is yes.
Of course
I love it.
I love it. Believe me, 100%. But I'll tell you this much, a little preview or post-view or whatever, but I like this movie way more than the Italian Job remake. Remake? Retitled? I don't even know. They just took the title.
Well, we're going to watch it again for Watch the Throne. That episode is going to come out. Oh, boy, when is that episode?
Before this episode, right? No.
This episode comes out April 26th. The Italian Job comes out April 13th. Yeah, so 2 weeks ago. You can go check out our Italian Job.
Italian Job. Incredible, Michael Caine. You're only supposed to blow bloody doors off.
I won't bury another Charlize Theron.
That was terrible. I know in my brain that was not even close to Michael Caine.
I won't bury another Theron.
I wish we were both good at accents to the point where, like, every one of these commentaries could be essentially like the trip
different
or
people
the trip
talking.
No, like we're just like, you know, trip, yeah. Rob Dyrdek and or not Dyrdek. No, not Rob Dyrdek. Holy shit!
At the warehouse,
I
crashing on some skateboards.
My mind. Coogan, Steve Coogan, and Rob. What's his name?
Oh my God, Rob Brydon.
Rob Brydon.
Yeah, there you go.
And Steve Coogan. Like, if we were both like great at accents, like that would be 100%.
Yeah,
the Cape clubs are visited.
Well, if you want to, maybe next time I can write a list of all the accents I think I know, and we could see if I could, you know, play some other characters aside from the character I usually play on these podcasts, this guy Mike Manzi I play.
Jeffrey Character Wheaties?
Yeah.
Been portraying Jason Mantzoukas as Jason for years.
Yeah, you know, my on-air persona doesn't really get sports, whereas in real life, I'm the total sports nut. You know,
I
subtle
mean,
differences.
If you need any more proof, just the way that you said you're the total sports nut, I mean, that's enough proof to say you love sports.
I'm just nuts about them. All right, there's something about this section with the getaway.
Another Cage in Action. So the original idea about the Cage Clubs Revisited, we were like, hey, we're going to go back and we're going to compare these to other movies now that we know them all, now that we have blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Then it just became us babbling about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Although this movie, surprisingly, has a lot of Cage connections to other things. If you remember, Amos and Andrew, there is a ferry.
Oof, that's
with a
right.
Red sports car in that ferry.
Oh, man.
This one,
is that a red sports car?
It's a red truck. It's their red truck.
That's the truck. Okay. I thought you were saying this was going to go to, like, a third level. Like, like we started talking about the movies, then we got way off subject, but now we're back on track? No, not quite. This is very connection-heavy, though, to other Cage Club
I things. Think, really, truthfully, a lot of his movies are interconnected ways. It's also the fact that, you know, he's made 87 movies or whatever.
You get to that point. I mean, I'm sure if we were watching all Sam Jackson's movies in a row, it would be even crazier. The
all like 175 of them.
Oh, okay. So when
hold on, can you give me a timestamp on this one? Because that's Cage's name going to be in it.
1:16:35.
Okay.
So when Dave Chappelle came out at the Oscars, I was like, dude, you got your new Nick Fury. Like, he could totally, like, he's at the point in his career, I feel, in his age, where he could just step into that role without, like, just give him the eye patch. Like, he's gotten bigger, he's older, so he seems like he looks a little wiser. I feel like he's turning into a Sam Jackson-ish type of character. I was like, if they need to keep, like, a younger Nick Fury, maybe, or something, I don't know, but.
You mean, like, when they reboot the MCU?
Yeah, if that's where they go.
I think they're
which
going
is
to.
More than likely because that's what happens in the comics, you know, is there's a cataclysmic event that wipes everything clean and you start from square one again. And
is that event Thanos?
It was once, I think. There was the Infinity Wars and the Infinity Gems and I'm not sure, but then, you know, they do like every year or so they do like a giant crossover where at the end of it the status quo is reestablished and, you know, old characters have become alive again and new characters pop up. Like, Wolverine died off in the comics a few years ago, and then after the last big event, he's back.
Mm.
And not only is he back, but there's the old man Logan Wolverine walking around, too. So they could do all kinds of crazy shit. Hopefully they'll introduce, like, the X-Men and just expand it more and just, you know, we'll get more stuff like international movies, you know? Like, I want to see a movie take place in, like, France or Spain.
I mean, we got Black Panther.
Right. Black Panther is a great, like, sort of, like, opening it up out of America. Like, I feel like we're too America-based in the MCU right now. Like, I feel like we need movies taking place all over the world.
You know what FBI agents should do more often? Drive red sports cars to active investigations.
They could, if they do the Moon Knight movie, that whole movie could take place Moon Knight?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, he's great. He's like, he's sort of like the, he's like Batman. He's a detective, but he's got like the spirit of an ancient Egyptian, like, god inside of him. But you could make that whole movie, it could take place in Cairo, modern day.
Huh.
Like, that would be a great idea. Even though he eventually relocates to New York City to become like a detective.
Interesting. Is there talk about them doing that, or is that
There was sort of an Easter egg in Captain America 2, where one of the guys rifling off all these names, he's like, Stephen Strange, Bruce Banner, a teacher in Cairo, a gymnast in here, and stuff. So like that was supposed to be a reference to Moon Knight, and they've been trying to get him as a show or a movie for a while.
Is it Moon K-N-I-G-H-T? Or Moon N-I-G-H-T?
I think it's K.
Like the Dark Knight? As opposed to nighttime.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know shit about dick about comics.
So this is... That's Moon Knight in his white getup with his piercing eyes
and
stuff.
That's cool.
So he's sort of an older character that they reworked a little, made him a little more modern, a little more, like, edgy.
The only comic stories that I really know are both DC-based.
That's like Moon Knight number one. So he's kind of white Batman, white-suited Batman, kind of.
He kind of looks more like Nightwing, kind of, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in that sort of vein.
I know the Death and Return of Superman story pretty well, and I know Crisis on Infinite Earths pretty well, which is basically...
That's so great. It's
DC's
epic.
Equivalent of, the cataclysmic event or whatever.
Right, that's the first time they cleaned everything
up. We got, eight Flashes. Like, we got to do something. Because those were the two comic series that my dad would read to me, like, because they were coming out as I was growing up, so he would buy them, we would read them or whatever, and...
See, DC could have been building the Crisis on Infinite Earths, if they had taken their time and just built it up, and that would have been amazing.
That would have been great if they're like, hey, forget about continuity, all these universes are real, like, they're all canon, we're just going to bring them all in.
Now we're going to merge it.
And now we're going to kill off everybody. Well, so now the shows are all going to end.
Well, that's the thing. You could choose who stays where. Like, we're going to continue this guy on TV. We're going to continue this guy in the films.
Yep.
What'll be interesting for Marvel is all they could really... I mean, not all they could really do, but, like, one thing that's really interesting they could do is, like, they can... When they reboot, like, it could be Iron Woman. It could be Spider-Girl, and, Captain America can, always have been, like, a black guy or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, they could alter...
Like Falcon?
Yeah. Like, Falcon doesn't just have to become Captain America, but, like, what if Steve Rogers was just a black kid from the 40s or 50s that was, given the drug and stuff. So, like, that's what they're able to do when they reboot the comics and stuff. So maybe they'll do that with the movies?
I hope so. I want Michael B. Jordan as Iron Man.
I just want Michael B. Jordan back into the universe proper.
Spoilers for Black Panther.
Which, if you haven't seen it by now, I don't understand how that's possible. Like, it's
made
so much money.
If you care enough about this to be bothered by a spoiler, but you haven't seen it yet, just
stop listening for now. Man on fire.
But before you do, go to caveclub.me and email mailbag at caveclub.me. But anyway, I love that he's in Black Panther. I'm devastated that he's dead already.
Me too.
Although that's also good for him creatively, because he's not going to be in a 7-picture dealer. You know what I mean?
True. I think that's what Andy's
his own thing.
I have a feeling Andy Serkis was like, you know what? Like, I can't be doing a Marvel movie. All this, like, I'm soon in demand. I'm a director on my own now. Like, I'm in the Star Wars. Like, I'm doing all this other stuff as a consultant. He's like, I got to get out of the MCU somehow. Get his mixtape before.
Wait, who did he play?
He was Ulysses Klaue.
Who's that?
The guy with, the claw hand who stole the vibranium.
Oh!
His hand opens up and he, shot stuff, and he was, he had that real thick accent, and he was, catch my mixtape on Spotify.
Yeah. The guy from Casino.
Yeah.
Yep, okay.
Basically in league with Killmonger.
King Killmonger.
Returns his dead corpse to Wakanda. I forgot this guy got lit on fire, but then I forgot she almost drowned in the trunk. And I remember saying I wanted Cage to stab the bad dude with his own blade leg, but that doesn't happen.
That's so crazy!
It's monster movie now. Like, this is the ending for a Friday the 13th. Not whatever Stolen started out as.
Did you watch that Lonely Island cut song from the Oscars?
Not yet. No, no, no.
Oh, my God.
But I rewatched the Andy Samberg movie that they made, and I liked it.
Popstar?
Yeah, I liked it much more the second
time. Oh, I loved Popstar the first. I've only seen it once, but I loved it.
I liked it the first time, but the second time I was fucking dying of laughter.
There is going to be at some point, whether it's with me or without me, maybe it just might be Chris and Nico, but they both really love The Lonely Island too. So there's going to be like a Lonely Island EP episode of Now and Again.
I like them, but like, oh man, like I just have trouble because I was raised on Weird Al. And to me, he's just a parody king. And, like, everybody else just feels like they're trying to do his thing. But, like, I don't know. I'm a little off-put by how hardcore the Lonely Island try to feel sometimes, too.
Well, that's their thing. I mean, like, Weird Al is, like, wholesome fun, sort of. And they're essentially rappers.
Explicit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best thing to do, though, is if you're ever at a bar and they have Touch Tunes, where there's the jukebox you can use to control through the app on your phone.
Oh, cool.
Just throw a little Lonely Island on the jukebox. Like, I love, Dick in the Box, obviously, but also I Just Had Sex. Just put it on. Nobody's really paying attention to the music until something comes on.
Or that new Natalie Portman rap they did was amazing when she's like, Jar Jar Binks has 18 dicks or whatever.
They're all great. Another classic Touch Tune song to put on is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, but just not anywhere near December. Like, I was at a restaurant a couple of weeks ago, and I put it on in late February.
That is a good idea.
And, because you don't actively pay attention to the music in, like, a bar or a restaurant
right.
until you hear something you shouldn't be hearing. And you're like, what the fuck?
Well, I feel
this?
Like that's kind of, like, that's funny. That's like a, I wonder if that's a phenomenon, because I feel like that's, like, standing at a 7-Eleven or something, too. Like, I don't it's like, it's all sort of background noise, but then you kind of, it's like, what the hell did they just say? Like, is it, oh, it's this song? Like, what is this song doing on?
Like, let me look at my Touch Tunes play history. I think that's
Helicopter.
Ooh.
But not Al Cirillo, probably.
No Beach, no Las Vegas.
Man, this card doesn't have a Helicopter.
Mine did. Thanks for the shout-out.
Wow, another rough card.
Touch Tunes.
Oh, you know what would be the ultimate after-credit scene? Would be the guy floating out of the water. Like, it's just, you see just like his eyes come above the water.
Mariah Carey. Genuine's Pony, obviously. Britney Spears, Every Time. Anything by Carly Rae Jepsen. Put on Amish Paradise by Weird Al, speaking of Weird Al. Yeah, my top two plays, I Just Had Sex and Pony. Like, that's what I play more often than anything else.
I'm just not out at bars enough to have a playlist ready.
Derringer. What's Derringer Real American?
Is that a cover of the... or something? Oh, look, it's where Cage is going to be buried. It's the
mausoleum?
Yeah, it's the New Orleans graveyard. I first saw an Easy Rider.
Oh.
You ever see Easy Rider?
Yeah.
They trip at the graveyard. And they really tripped. And
have you ever seen Easy Rider 2?
Wait, what?
Oh, you don't know that's a thing?
No.
How's gonna make covered it? It is god awful.
How don't I know Easy Rider 2 is a thing? I know, like, so many things are part 2 and 3.
Yeah, Easy Rider 2, like, semi recently, I think.
You know about More American Graffiti, right?
No.
Oh, dude, it is over.
So this is what I'm thinking of. This is the scene that I was remembering. He sees a little bit of gold. Mm-hmm. That is the tip-off.
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, it's not a little bit of gold. It's a big gold.
It's a big chunk.
Hey, how long has that been in her truck?
Oh, I love the idea that she's been driving around with it for like 3 months.
With like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in gold.
And that just, like, you know, yokels have probably seen it and never paid it any attention because it just looks like garbage or something.
Oh, boy.
Very, very sly. Hello, he's retired, right? Or no? I guess not.
I don't think so. I think that he's just tired of this investigation.
He's not retired. He's just tired. That's what it is.
He's not tired again. He's just tired. Or he is retired, but it's not one word. He's like re-hyphen tired.
I'm starting to get a feeling that those two guys are a couple because they can't stand each other, but they can't live without each other.
I think that's a very common like partner relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think it's deeper for some reason.
If Cage hesitates, he's definitely doing that.
Did she dye her hair red?
So she started the movie blonde, and then we saw her again, and she was sort of brunette, and now it's sort of like redder. I think it's just sort of, you know, it's a symbol
shooting,
of time
just
going by.
I think it's just they did it once, and then it wore out throughout the course of shooting.
See, that guy wants to, he's on Cage's side. He doesn't want to catch Cage.
I see.
It's this other guy who's got the stick up his ass to catch
so
Cage.
Then he is probably retired. It looks like he's fishing. That's why the hat.
But I think
he's
they're
really
also, like, they're undercover.
Oh, right. That's true. But they know he's out there. Cage knows he's watching.
You think?
Yeah, because ultimately he didn't throw it.
Well, no, he didn't throw it because Mollins like, yeah, go ahead, sell it, and then as soon as you sell it, you're going to get caught and you're going to go back to prison. It wasn't because they were out there. He just knew that. They knew that if he's suddenly rich.
Oh, I thought they were putting on a show.
No. That's Cage's actual inner turmoil.
No, because they actually keep it, see? He threw the acorn.
Oh, man.
See, they got you. The end switch there.
Damn. All right, so we got to look for the special effects studio
in
the closing credits.
These are the slowest crawling credits I've seen in a long time.
Got to fill 5 minutes somehow, man.
Wow, really? Do we?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Five solid
minutes.
Why did
they do that? I mean, for me, the movie is from opening shot to closing shot. Credits shouldn't count as far as time limit's concerned. I don't like that rule.
Well, that's just how time works. Wow. So email us mailbag@cageclub.me, go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, @cageclubpod on Twitter.
Oh, it's saying stunt doubles. Do you know Zoe Bell was Cate Blanchett's stunt double for Thor Ragnarok?
I think I did know that because she had been out of the game for a while and she came back, I think.
Okay.
Because
she tried to be like an actual actor.
Yeah, I mean, she's like Death Proof.
She's great. Death Proof was like tailor-made for her, but I don't know any...
Something maybe called, like, The River or something? It was some terrible movie I saw at Fantastic Fest.
Okay.
Not terrible, but just wasn't good. This is the last one we're going to record today, so I don't know what's going to be in 2 weeks, so I can't help you there. But I hope you enjoy... it's always going to keep going, but we're almost like a quarter of the way through...
The Revisited stuff?
I mean... There's like 87 movies or something. We're not going to do 87. I think we're only going to do about like 80. Because there's, you know, we're not
right,
going to do...
Right, we're not going to do the documentaries
Grindhouse
again.
Grindhouse or the documentaries.
Grindhouse
or
the ones he wasn't
Hollywood.
In. Exactly, and not SNL or... yeah. The
no, little, we're doing SNL.
Oh, we're going to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. We never got around to doing an episode for Inside the Actor Studio, which...
I still don't know how you talk about that, though.
Well, I think we just watch it and then we talk about things we learned about it or liked about it. I mean, it's a possible... It's still a possibility out there.
I'd rather talk about it on, like, one of these things and just, like, you know, we're, like, today we're talking about, you know, Never on Tuesday, but also his Inside the Actor's Studio.
Well, that's the thing we could do, too, is if we do, like, a, not maybe, like, an entire clip show thing, but if there's something like the Actor's Studio that we want to cover, oh, like how he read the book of Johnny Appleseed, maybe we could, do you remember he did that audiobook?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, we could lump that in with it, maybe, or...
We could also lump in him reading Poe's The Raven at the Draft
House.
For
Caged 4, right? Yeah, so, I mean, there's possibilities of little things here and there. But, I mean, I don't think we're going to have a shortage of movies of Cage this year because it's been 3 months and 3 movies.
We've put out 2 episodes. Humanity Bureau is out if you have an Oculus.
Yeah, technically
it's
out in the virtual world, but, yeah.
It's been floating around the internet for a while, but it's not legal to watch yet, so we have not
watched
it
yet. Well, it's been out in the UK for a year.
Ugh.
It was released in the United Kingdom last March or April or something, so...
Get with it, America.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to make America great again.
Apparently that doesn't involve what we consider great.
Humanity Bureau.
Here, post sound. Oh, that's post sound. Okay, I'm looking for special effects stuff. I might have... might have missed the CGI house.
But yeah, this was episode 20 of Revisited.
Oh, visual effects, worldwide effects. There you go.
Are they big?
Never heard of them.
Cool.
They look like a little small crew. 3D animators, there you go. Simulation department. All right, they actually, look at that, 2D compositors. Okay, they had the whole nine yards going for Blade Leg to replace that leg.
We are sort of, kind of, closing in on, not really, our one-year anniversary of Revisited. We have another 3 months before we get there.
All right, we're closer than we are far.
Sure, yeah, we're, you know, closer to the end than the beginning. But then, you know, that's only going to be like 26 or 27 movies. Then we're going to have another couple years of that. So we've got so many more of these to go. Working on it.
Yes. Are you watching, are you doing any other kind of, like, all-on marathon? Like I'm watching, in my own time, I'm going through all the Godzilla movies again this year. Are you going through all of
just
any?
Just the comedies.
Okay, cool.
Oh, what I do want you to do is, not right now, sometime, come up with 5 comedies and 5 action movies that I should see. Not the most obvious ones, not the ones that you think I've seen. Okay. You can also go to my Letterbox. I think my Letterbox is just about 100% accurate in terms of the movies that I've seen. So if you go to a movie and if it doesn't say that I've seen it, consider it unseen.
Cool.
And then we'll just go from there. And I just want to see good movies.
No animals were harmed.
Were there animals in the movie?
Yeah, there was that dog barking on the stairs.
That's true. That he did, like, threaten
yelled,
to beat the shit out of or whatever.
Yeah.
And but yeah.
Nothing.
There we go. So I'll see you next time.
Thanks.
On Cage Club Revisited. CageClub.me. Mailbag at CageClub.me.
Thanks for listening.
Facebook.com/CageClub @CageClubPod on Twitter.
Thanks for listening.